and verse 23. The last clause is the title of my sermon. The lame take the prey. Can you say it with me? The lame take the prey. Mark 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the border of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Say it with me again. The lame take the prey. The battle is not to the mighty, for it is not by might nor by power, saith the Lord. But there is an exception. It can be won by the lame with the help of his spirit. You see, this woman in our text is just a woman. It does not speak of her beauty, does not speak of her poise, does not speak of her education. It only speaks that she had a daughter who was vexed with a devil. It does tell us that she's outside of the bounds of Israel, and that Jesus had stepped over the border in order to get rest. Right. He would have no man know that he was in the town, but he could not be hid. There is something about the intuition of a woman when she has something on her mind that she almost seems omniscient. Yeah. You know, I think sometimes that we underestimate our lady folks. I think that they are sharper than what we let on.
Yeah, man. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right,
man. You remember when that lady spoke to you in a tone that was not quite comfortable? And when she got you by herself, she said, I don't want you talking to her anymore. It's as though she could see the devil in the bush. It's okay, ladies, throw a songbook up in the air. The men will catch up with you after a while. They were deceived one time by the devil, and he became their enemy for life. They look for him. They despise him because he has already deceived them one time, and they fell for it. And a lot of them are way too smart to give the devil a second chance. The lame shall take the prey. How come we don't have a cripple or a blind man? How come it's not someone masculine and male who has found out his house? Why is it this woman, this Syrophoenician who sensed him and said, I'm going. I will. I am on my way now. I have a mission, and I will not be denied. You see, the brightest gems are often found and come from the darkest minds. The purest pearls are often discovered in the most unpromising oyster. The rarest knickknacks and antiques oftentimes are found in the most out-of-the-way junk store. Am I right? The rarest specimen of faith Jesus didn't find in Israel, he found outside of his border. In that curio shop run by this Greek lady. She had faith like a radar. Her baby lay behind her in her house when the devil would let her. Only a mother can tell you of the wearisome steps of a child being tormented, whether by pain, mental grief, thoughts, or just the devil playing cat and mouse with her, tripping her and making her fall. We know the woman, we know the man that Jesus found when he came off of the mountain said oftentimes he throws him into the fire, oftentimes into the water. What does a devil do when he has control of a child? He has no benefit to him in the public. So he has to torment somebody with them. So the devil had set out to torment this woman, because she could do nothing about what he was doing to her child. All right. But how many know you can only push a mother so far, and they will push back. So she could not do it by herself, and there was no way in Tyre or Sidon that they were going to have a revival. It was an out-of-the-way place. It is the most beautiful and triumphant instance of the lame taking the prey. It's an instance where we see faith that is just natural. She had not listened to him preach. She had not listened to him tell parables. She had not listened to his eschatology of the future or his prophetic utterance. She had heard nothing. And faith comes by hearing. And yet this mother is going to come up with the rare pearl called faith. Am I right? Tyre and Sidon wasn't a fashionable place. It wasn't like Judea. People weren't cultured like the Jews. Neither was it like Galilee. People weren't following him. The only thing between him and the public was 12 men who meant for no man to bother him. They wasn't ready to encounter a woman on a mission. They wasn't ready to encounter a mother who had heard her daughter cry one too many times. And she was going to put a stop to it if she could. This kind of faith is a rare faith. This kind of faith is an unblemished faith. This kind of faith comes from a substance called love. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is love. So it had a breeding spot in her heart. She loved her baby. Can anybody say amen to that? Still, he didn't want to be found. His disciples' intent was to keep him from being bothered. And here comes a woman, lame because she is an alien. Lame because she's a woman. Lame because she has no rights on him whatsoever. She cannot call him Jesus, thou son of David. She is not of Israel. But she can say the word Lord. Are you going to help me preach? You see, the woman of Canaan sought him. Just like the woman with the issue of blood who stepped out of her dwelling place and fell into line with those thronging multitude, but not like them. They jostled him. They touched him. They bumped him. They pushed him, and nothing happened. And she come up behind and just touched the hem of his garment. Yes. Virtue flew from him down those fingers, through those arms. Have you ever had to do it? Have you ever had the Spirit of God touch you, crown of your head, and you felt like it popped the end of your toes off? Did you ever feel it? Have you ever felt it? Just that breath of God that makes your hair stand up. Ever felt it? Thing that makes your heart leap. Your tongue get thick all of a sudden. And you want to say something and you can't say it. All you end up doing is saying, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. The woman with the issue of blood felt in herself. But she had the right. She was a daughter of Abraham. This woman is a Syrophoenician, no rights, but she's on the hunt, and she is on the prowl, and she has found the place where the king sits incognito.
Oh yes,
the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in that house, the great physicians. In that house. The Prince of Peace is in that house. And she approaches the house. How many knows she's determined to get at him? 12 men against one woman, odds are not fair. The men ought to have known better than to tackle this one woman. They should have looked at her face and said, you don't want to mess with her. That's a woman on a mission.
All right.
Brethren, if you don't want to help me preach, go and turn to your wife and say, help him, will you, honey?
Come on, preach. Come on, preach. Come on. God bless you.
They should have known better than to got in her way. She was going to get through them. She knew she had to get through them to him. They would have sent her away. And they would have felt nothing bad about it. They would have told her, get lost. And would have had no feelings at all about it. But inside that door was a man of a different kind of character. In there was the great high priest of tomorrow who could be touched today. There was the greater one than Moses who sat in that house. A greater than Solomon that sat in that house. Greater than Jonah that sat in that house. Greater than angels that sat in that house. It was just a matter of getting past into that house. And that's what she was going to do. She moved as a lioness seeking her prey. How many know that the male lion don't hunt? He only gets there for the kill. It's the lioness that do the prowling. The lioness to do the plotting. The lioness to spook it. And the other ones jump it. Oh, yeah. I know us men like to take a lot of credit. But here is one that we can't have any credit. This is a lioness who is after the prey. She's lame because she can't run as fast. She cannot have freedom to go where she wants to go. So she must stealthily get through. And she does. Oh, I pray you see her. Look at her. Look at her. Look at her. Look at her for a moment. Just look at her. Mark her persistency. Look at her and mark her inquiry. Mark
that decided tone. Look at her. Mark her face, how resolute it is. Mark her determination. A determination that no crowds, no disciples, right. No difficulties, right. No dangers, no obstacle can right. Stop. And that, my faith, is real faith. You're looking at a woman who has real faith. Not faith pumped up, not faith polished off, not faith buffeted. Faith right out of her heart. It's just pure right out of this mother's heart. She knows where she's going. She knows who she's looking for. She will not be denied. Such traits always grace and enhance the female, the woman's nature. Do you speak of her being a weaker vessel? Yeah, maybe. She can't press 350, but I've seen some woman that could. There was two sisters that worked in a butcher shop in South Carolina that could hang a half a hog with any man. Cut it. I didn't want to mess with them. They were too good with knives, and they were pretty good-sized women. Sometimes we can't call them weaker vessels. Sometimes it's better not to even look for their weakness. Sometimes it's better just to watch them and see that it's not just physical force, but it's a moral force. It's a holy resolution. Not in any other thing but a holy determination. I first seen that in the face of my grandma when she got serious about prayer. She changed. I didn't know when the change happened, but it changed. She changed. She changed from a grandma to somebody that you step back. I said, whoa, what happened to grandma? Could she become a tongue talker?
All right.
She began to see people who wasn't in the room.
Thank God.
She began to hear voices that I couldn't hear. And she talked. And she talked to this man named Jesus. And she talked to this man named Jesus. And she talked to this man named Jesus. And sometimes she said yes. And sometimes she said, no, I won't take that. And she went back to prayer. I was there in that house when she prayed her boys back from the Second World War.
All right.
I will never forget. That was my grandma who got into a prayer closet with a trait of determined nature that said, I want my boys back alive. And God finally conceded to that woman. She got his concession, and he said, I will, and he did. Well, I want to talk to my women tonight. Is it all right? Husbands, you mind if I talk to my women tonight? You mind that at all? You know, stick your fingers in your ears because I'm going to talk to them. I tried to talk to you, and you won't listen to me, so I'm going to go around you, and I'm going to talk to them. Now, I need some help. I need some help that comes from a heart that knows how to say, help me. That doesn't get embarrassed when you have to say, help me. When you know that you've got to have help and you don't mind saying, I need help and I need it right now. We don't try to fix it. Look at this woman. Look at her. I wish you would look at her. When she gets to her place, she doesn't try to alter or change Jesus. In one bit, she falls into agreement with him. She agrees with everything he says, and yet wins. That may be the only problem I have dealing with you women. You're used to getting your way. Talking your way in, talking your way out. But I want you to look at this woman. She doesn't try to talk her way in.
No.
And she doesn't try to talk her way out. She gets him to say one thing and she pounces. She pounces like the lioness that she was. She saw, she pounced, she lit right on it, and she didn't let go of it until he said, "Great is thy faith." You're going to help me preach. He could not be hid. This woman of Canaan sought him. Who is she? Nothing but a mother of a troubled, full of love, but troubled about her child. A poor, miserable looking little object too. Tormented of a devil. She couldn't smile that childlike smile. She was tormented of the devil. She couldn't talk. Because the devil would sometimes make people that he possessed mutes and they couldn't speak. Sometimes he would make them deaf and they couldn't hear. Sometimes he'd make them blind and they couldn't see. What the problem at home was with this girl, we're not told. But we do know the main factor behind it was a devil. That's enough to put a mother in high gear. That's enough to send her out on the prowl to see if she can find somebody that can help her baby. She's had enough. She leaves her child alone in the home. And you know, when a mother does that, she's desperate. Because when she gets back, she finds her child laying on a bed. Am I right? You gonna help me? Look at this woman. She leaves her home in this little town and she goes looking for a Jew, knowing that just as that Samaritan woman did, he's not going to have any dealings with me. He's not going to say anything kind to me. I'm a dog. To a Jew, I'm a dog. So she goes with this attitude and she goes with this picture of her little miserable distorted daughter laying at home with a tormenting devil right in her heart. And she is going to get help. Say the word with me. I need help. Tired of the devil having his way in your home? Tired of the devil having his way with your children? Tired of the devil having the say? Tired of the devil sassing you, back talking you? There's a way to get rid of the devil. There's a way you can shut the devil's mouth. There's a way you can take the fingers of the devil off of your home. And this woman is after just that. She is one of those who will leave no stones unturned. Get out of her way. She's a way maker. She's got a reason. It's laying at home, tormented. She's not her own. She's going for another. She's going because she loves someone more than she loves herself. She's going because the kind of love she has cannot watch suffering without being moved. And therefore she goes. The great physician who would go through flood, flame, who would go through embarrassment and pain, through thick and thin, if only she could get him into a conversation. If he will say but one word, she's going to pounce. If he stays still, she can't do anything. But if he opens his mouth, he is all hers. That's all she has to get him to do, is just say something to her. We'll see that just in my text. Oh, this love is blind. It cannot see anything but victory. It's a it's a pipe dream, you say. But, oh, there is an opening on the other end of the pipe. There is hope. And it's just beyond the door. There is all the hope that she needs right behind that door. Who would go through such trouble? A mother. Who but a mother? Who but a mother? Love is blind, and yet it gets up. It's all so desperate that nothing can stay it. Love gets worked up. It knocks. It pleads. It demands. Am I right? Love will knock. Love will plead. Love will demand. But love will triumph. The great prophet to whom she's going to, the great prophet, she will get an answer. Oh, that's mother's love. She will have it. She will have it at all costs. She will go through what she's got to go through for that one thing. It's the inspiration of a mother's importunity. Why is she so desperately in earnest? Because she loves so much. Revival's going to be born. It'll be because we fall in love with sinners. And we say to God, I can't stand it. Them hurting, I can't stand it. Them crying, I can't stand it. Them in misery. You can't have revival until love kicks in. You say, love is sort of lame, but boy, it can still get the victory. You should have preached on something else. This little woman's going to do her best. She's going to get her child an interview with Jesus through herself. She's going to go to Jesus about her baby. And when such love knocks at heaven's door, he cannot be hid. She cannot be denied. All was against her. How many know everything was against her? It doesn't matter when love is the shield and faith is the sword. When you are standing there, everything may be against you and you may think that you are lame. Verse 26 will tell us she was outside of the commonwealth of Israel. She was a heathen. She was a Greek. She was a Syrophoenician. By nation, no one would have thought she had a chance to get to him. Her answer? Look at her. She gets in like the little dog. They forgot to shut the door. And she went in. And straight to his feet. Did y'all bring your Bible? You ought to start bringing your Bible and checking out and see if I'm preaching this right. It said right here, by nation, she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. That sounds good. But she heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Then she was at the right place. If he's going to say anything, he'll say it when you get at his feet. See her? She don't mind laying at a man's feet to get help for her baby. If that's going to be the way she gets him to say something, she'll stay at his feet. Oh, you mamas need to help me preach. Her answer, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Can you see an opening? Can you see it? Right there was all she needed. Right there, she saw it. As soon as he said it, she saw the opening. She was home. She already had the victory. It was just a mere thing now of getting him to say it. She had all she needed to get an answer.
All right.
Jesus said it Listen to it. It's right here. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She saw it. Do you see it? Look at it. That's it. That's where the lame take the prey. She saw it. She felt her case was won. Her eyes flashed. Did you ever see it? First time I seen it was when Renee caught me when I told her, I said something about a cabbage dress or something, cabbage patch dress, and her eyes flashed. And I knew then I'd stepped into the trap. She's just a little girl, but boy, she was womanly. I said, you would look cute in a cabbage patch dress or something. What? Gunny sack. I said, yeah, that's it. That's old-fashioned enough. Gunny sack. I said, you would look cute in a gunny sack. And her eyes flashed. And I said, I've been took. I didn't know there was a gunny sack dress in the world. She could tell when I said the word, there was no turning back. When Jesus said, it is not meat to give the meat, the bread that belongs to the children, to dogs. That's all she needed. Her eyes flashed with triumph. Her face lit up with enthusiasm. And she said, of course, Lord, of course. You are absolutely right. It is not meet to take the children's bread, but because the little dogs pick up the crumbs which fall from their master's table, I will stay at your feet so I can collect the crumbs. The beauty of it is perfect agreement with what Jesus Christ says. She does not ask him to alter his statement. She so perfectly agrees with what he has said. That is it. How quickly she sees it all and makes her claim. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Precisely so, Lord. Precisely so. I don't dispute it. I am not one of thy children. Oh, I wish I was. I am not worthy to sit at the table with thee. I am not worthy to break bread with thee. But Lord, I am a little dog.
All right.
Creeping under thy table and looking up into thy face. And I expect you just to let a crumb fall for me.
All right.
It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. True, Lord, true. No, I will not have you rob for me. Children first, dogs second. Children at the dinner, dogs after the dinner.
Yeah.
Only, my Lord, don't forget the little dog after the dinner. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. True, Lord, true. I'm not going to ask you. That is mine is an exceptional case. I'm not going to ask you to alter your rule for me.
No, sir.
I'm not putting in a claim for the child's portion. I'm a little Gentile dog under your table.
Right.
And dogs have a portion. For you know, my Lord, when the door's ajar, the dog just slinks in, crawls under the table, catches the crumbs which fall from the master of the house. And the master of the house is not angry with the little dog for doing that. I'm not asking for a child's portion. I'm not asking for a big slice. I'm not asking for all I'm asking for is the dog's allowance. It's the crumbs. It's the droppings. That's I am after. But my Lord, if I may have the place of a dog under the table at thy feet, that's all I can expect.
a crumb. Only a crumb. But that will be heaven for me.
How many times I watched you walked away because we didn't cut you a slice? How many times I watched you walk away disappointed because you didn't get a seat? But look at this woman's faith. He said, table. She knew not the alley dog, not the roaming of the yard dog, but little old house dogs like some of you's got, who you would probably sit at the table and feed. But they wasn't quite that integrated back then. They stayed under the table. And they could clean up the floor, and no one objected. Whatever hit the floor was the dogs. Am I right? When are you going to come down off your high horse and say to the Lord, your feet is just as close to your heart as your head is. And if I can get at your feet and get what I need, then I won't have to deal with your brains. I won't have to try to outwit you. I will just agree with you. Set the children. Cut them a big piece of bread. Set them at the table. They're messy. They will gom. They can't keep everything on the table. It may be but a crumb that falls. But that's all I need. I can get what I need out of that crumb. How many can say that? How many will say that a faith, the grain of a mustard seed, can say to a sycamine tree, be thou plucked up, and say to a mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be done. We've been spoiled children. We just get so mad when we don't get a slice of bread or the whole loaf. If we're not turned around like a top, spinning, jumping, hopping, and we don't think that we're just getting in, we don't think that anything's happened. This woman did not do a two-step.
No, sir.
She did not jump up and down.
No, sir.
She didn't even clap her hands. No, sir. She didn't say, woo! All she said was, I'll take the crumb.
Yes,
and Jesus could not deny her the position that she chose at his feet guaranteed her crumbs. And the last time I checked bread, it didn't matter if you got the heel or the heart. The same ingredients was all the way through the bread. And if you got a piece of bread, it was just like getting a whole loaf in quantity. Am I right? Oh, you can't stop the truth when it marches. And this woman was marching with truth. She knew that if she could get there and get him to say a word, if he could just start a conversation with her, she was going to win the battle. If the Lord even looked at her, which he didn't do for a long time, but when he finally looked at her and he finally said, I can't give you the bread. The children's got to have it first. She said, that's fine. I'm not a child, but I will take the place of the little dog at your feet. And all I ask you to do is just don't deny me what's really mine. The portion that belongs to me, though it be a crumb, is mighty when God has touched it. I remember that when Jesus took loaves of bread and fed thousands, that they had fragments left over. And he said that nothing be wasted. Gather it up. And if I remember right, 7,000, seven baskets full, was it right? 12,000 equal baskets full of
just so they would know there was more at the end from crumbs than there was at the beginning with the loaves. Crumbs go further. Oh, you're not listening to me. Preach! You can get a long time wanting a whole loaf for yourself. It may never be given, but if the master of the house breaks it, and breaks it, and breaks it until it looks like there's nothing but crumbs left, and you're full after he's fed you, you don't want nothing else. And then he says, take up the fragments. And there's more in the fragments than there was in the beginning. I tell you, my friend, I don't need the whole loaf. I just need the master to touch it. If the master will touch it. If the master will touch it. If the master will touch it. It'll work. The lame can take the prey if they won't get greedy. You're not listening to me, are you? O woman, great is thy faith. O woman, great is thy faith. O woman, what has she got? Crumb. There it is. There she stands. The lame has taken the prey. What's she got? A crumb. That's all she's got. That's all she wanted. Just a crumb. And then he tells her, what's in that crumb? Did you ever hear a crumb talk? Listen to what Jesus says the crumb is saying. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. That was what she could see right there. Just those words, as thou wilt. Now, he gives her a blank check with his name on it. And says, fill it out for whatever you want. Here it is, a blank check. My name on it, fill it out. You're not helping me preach. Sometimes I preach. Heaven! I want to preach. Do you understand what that crumb was? A blank check with his name on it. As thou wilt. I'm not going to ask you what you want. I don't care what you want, woman. You have got my attention. You have surpassed my expectation. You've got great faith. And I'm going to tell you how God rewards great faith. He does it with evidence that cannot be denied. And she went home, threw the door open, and there her baby laid, devil free. Woo! Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could kick that door open tonight and see your boy, girl, devil free? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could find them changed, born again, new creatures, devil gone? I wish you'd help me preach. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Matthew 15 and 28. From that very hour. If Jesus was to issue you a blank check tonight, how would you fill it out? If he was to just say, okay, say it. That's the way it's going to be. What would be the first thing that you would ask for? Lord, could you drop those numbers on me one more time? And make a lottery is answer to my prayer. Could you just whisper him in his ear? I need the Powerball too, Lord. What'd you ask for? New house? New car? Better job? What'd you ask for?
All right.
I tell you what this woman asked for. She filled the check out right where we could read it. I want my baby whole. And Jesus said, amen. And she went home, and from the very hour that Jesus said, as thou wilt, the devil was gone. She wasn't even home, and the devil left. So don't tell me the devil can't find his way out by himself. You want to, you can show him the door, but you don't have to show him the door. You don't even have to be home to escort him. All you've got to do is have the evidence in your hand. How many can say amen to that? Oh, listen, as I close and fix to sit down, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray at my feet. Oh, it says, seek my face. And pray. And seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin. And will heal their land. Isaiah again. My title, the lame shall take the prey. Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Yes, Lord. Can you say that to him? Yes, Lord. Yet, you're absolutely right. The bread belongs to the children. Yet, Lord, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs.
I read the other day, Greg Mason, what I usually do, this old grand old book, which I've read through many times, marked up several.
And you will continue to mark them up. I come across that one scripture that just absolutely thrilled my soul again. And Jesus was talking to the people who he had healed the blind man and sent him away to wash and came back seeing, and they made a ruckus of it. And Jesus said, are you talking to me about that man that I made ever wit whole? I said, ever wit whole? And healing stepped up a notch all of a sudden in my estimation. Ever wit whole. You know what ever wit is? Ever wit whole. That means I wouldn't have one eye stronger than the other, or one ear impaired and the other one not hearing. I wouldn't have one leg a quarter inch longer than the other one.
Right. Come on.
So, but now I have consciously not limped. I had five limbs, and I never lived all my life, and now I'm conscious of it. You may hold my hand in the same minute.
Come on. All
right. You may be able to hold.
Amen.
It is in your power, Lord, to make somebody ever get
home. Oh, yes, it is.
In your power, Lord. I don't want to stop and tell you that a crumb can't do it.
Thank God.
Amen.
Thank you. classic in my book is a 55 Chevy. That's a classic. 55 Thunderbird. That's a real classic in my book. A classic sermon? I don't think I ever heard one. Because no preacher can take any kind of credit for any sermon that he has preached. And if he can take sole credit for it, it wasn't given to him by the Holy Ghost. He borrowed it off of somebody else.
Right.
So therefore, you've got a classic from a classic. Well, come on. You want me to quit? Plagiarism. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Until I preach and you respond, I have not preached. Until I can preach, until David Dale gets up off of that seat with the Holy Ghost of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, I have not preached the Holy Ghost. If he can sit there and I'm preaching to him about the Holy Ghost and he does not receive it, I have not preached. I've only exhorted, encouraged him. But when I preach, I can do like Paul.
Do I baptism when you baptize? John's baptism, well, you need something else. Yeah. Come here. He laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Am I right?
Right.
We need revival. It doesn't come by asking for the whole load.
Right.
We've got to stand at his feet with the palm.
Oh, yes.
I'm done.